Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
James 5:16. Let's go on in our discussion on prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16. All of us are going to read together James chapter 5 and verse 16. It's a crime for you to come to church in Desta without a Bible. Amen. Somebody say, but it's on the screen. You can't mark that one. If you get any revelation or insight, because the Bible is a book of codes. It's a coded book. Coded. Coded. The only way it can be useful for you to apply to your life is through insight. It's through understanding. And usually when you gain an insight or understanding, then you want to note it by the scripture where you got it. There are some scriptures that have, that even have dates by them in the Bibles that I have used. So it's important that you have a copy of your own Bible. Amen. And then, you see, when we teach under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, while we're teaching, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on everyone. If you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if you came not just for entertainment, if you have questions, if you are looking for what to apply to your life, then you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And in the course of the sermon, something is inspired, some insight. You know, you get flashes of inspiration, and you've got to be ready at that point in time. So I expect people to hear some things that I did not say under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So it's just important you have your Bible and that you know. That's what I do. I can't pray without having Bible and paper. I can't read my Bible without, you know, being able to make notes. Good. Let me to ask your neighbor, where is your Bible? Let me to look, see how new it is. If it is very new, ask person, when did you buy it? How can a 5-year-old Bible be looking as new as this? James chapter 5. Forgive me if you didn't bring a Bible, but next Sunday you must bring one. If not, I'll get on your case. Okay? James 5 and verse 16. Let's go. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Let's talk about fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer here is qualified, is described, the effective fervent prayer. Fervency measures the degree of intensity. Okay? You can use fervency, for example, to describe hotness, temperature. Okay? In fact, sometimes you use the word fervent for hot. So, prayer is a spiritual engagement with God. Remember, we've described it as communication with God. And God is a spirit. So, we relate with God with our spirits or with our hearts. And we've said here before that in prayer or when we pray, God doesn't only hear our words. He hears our thoughts as loud as he hears our words because he doesn't have physical ears. Okay? Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. So the thinking is put on the same platform as the asking or the speaking. So it's spirit relating to spirit or heart relating to heart. But then the state of that heart matters. When you're praying, your heart is like a transmitting station. You need energy to transmit waves, sound waves, pictures, and so on. You need energy. That's why you need electricity, you know, to power a transmitting station. Those cell sites, the telecommunications companies, the radio stations, the TV stations, they got to be powered. So you need energy, you need intensity, you need, let me describe it as passion, okay, to move things from your heart to God and to reach God. If you read the same passage of scripture in the Amplified Version, same verse, especially the B part of that verse 16, it says, the earnest and in bracket heartfelt continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Okay, the earnest, heartfelt, that's the point. Earnest, urgent, intense, passionate, and then it says heartfelt, continued prayer. Well, the point is, when there is fervency, usually there's also persistence. Okay? There's usually persistence. So it says continued prayer. Prayer is an expression of desire. Because when we talk about fervency, the word that comes to my mind is desire. In the King James Version, Mark 11:24 says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So the prayer is an expression of desire. And desire is to crave for something with intensity. Sorry, that's big grammar. Hunger. Desire is hunger. Or thirst. So, prayer is an opportunity for you to express your hunger for God as a person. Your thirst for God as a person. Also, it's an opportunity to express your hunger for God's intervention in a situation. Psalm 27 verse 4. The psalmist said, one thing I have desired, and this I will seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Okay? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing I have desired, that I will seek after. You know, God grants desires, not wishes. What people have a lot of the time are wishes. And when it's a wish, it's more of a fantasy. It may come to pass, it may not come to pass. God does not grant wishes. He grants desires. Dr. Mike Murdock said, the proof of desire is pursuit. You know, many years ago, I spoke at a program and there were loads of young people there and I held this cassette, audio cassette in my hand and described, you know, the stuff inside it, how powerful and life-changing it was. And then I asked them, who wants this cassette? And of course, most of their hands shot up. I want it. I scanned the congregation and asked again, who wants this cassette? Me. Who really, really wants this cassette? That was when somebody got it, shot out of her chair and came and took the cassette and I gave it to her. Yeah, that was the message. So you want it, and you are sitting down. I said, if you really, really want it, go for it. Yeah. If you really, really, I mean, you are very hungry. There's food on the table across the room. And you say, I really want to eat. You don't. And you are sitting down. The hunger is not enough yet to motivate you. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. Desire. And that is what we bring into prayer. That's the intensity that we bring into prayer. That's the fervency that we bring into prayer. Oh, let me share this verse of scripture with you. I don't share it all the time, but it rings in my own spirit all the time. Let me try and find it. I think it's in Genesis 27. Yeah. Genesis 27 and verse 40. The scenario. Isaac is about to die. He wants to pass on his blessing to his son. He calls Esau. Esau runs into the bush to prepare meat for his dad so his dad can bless him. The mom talks to Jacob. You know the story. Jacob comes and takes the blessing. As soon as Jacob is gone, then Esau shows up. And then the father said, Hey, what happened? Oh, must I be your brother? Must I be your brother Jacob? He's taking the blessing. He's taking the blessing. And verse 34 says, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, oh my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. Verse 38, and Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, oh my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live and you shall serve your brother. Pay close attention to this. If you think that's the end of the matter, it is not. He says, and it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke. Hallelujah. Help me to tell your neighbor, you've not had the last about the matter. Yeah. There was still a window of opportunity there. Let me read it from the Amplified Bible. That verse 40. By your sword you shall live and serve your brother. But the time shall come when you shall grow restive and break loose, and you shall tear his yoke from off your neck. I like it. Let me check it out in the Message Bible. Yeah. You live by your sword, hand to mouth, and you serve your brother. But when you can't take it anymore, you will break loose and run free. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yes. That's it. As long as you can take it, it will hang around you. So, but when you get to the point where you can't take it, you will yank his yoke off your neck. That's what I'm talking about. When you sense a difference, a gap between your potential and your reality, something is yours, but you don't have it, then you go for it. When you sense some funny characters, I mean spiritually now, trying to build limits around your life, when you sense Satan waging a war of containment against your life, when you realize something is already yours. I mean, you find an example about that in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I love this man who changed his own story because he prayed. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Chronicle means is from the word chronological. Okay? So you read the two chronicles or chronological books in the Bible. What you have are just arrangements of who gave back to who. And this begat that, and that begat this. So that's how 1 Chronicles chapter 4 starts. And then you get to verse 9, and there's a break. Because someone did something spectacular with his life that was more than begatting people. Permit my grammar. Because for many other people, that was their accomplishment in life, the summary of their life. And so lived so and so years, and he begat this and this and died. And that begat this, and this begat that, and that begat. But when it came to this man, 1 Chronicles 9, Jabez was a better man than his brothers. Ah, somebody say with me, I'm going to be better. Jabez was a better man than his brothers. I want to be a better Nigerian. I want to be a better African. I don't want the environment to limit my life. Jabez was a better man than his brothers. A man of honor. His mother named him Jabez. Oh, the pain. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Saying a painful birth. I bore him in great pain. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. Bless me. Oh, bless me. Give me land, large tracts of land, and provide your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me. God gave him what he asked. Hallelujah. Ah, this season, God will answer your prayers.
Amen.
Let me read it from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Okay? That you will bless me indeed. What does that mean? This guy was a descendant of Abraham. He was entitled to the blessings of Abraham. But his life wasn't saying so. Because his mother had a lot of pain when she gave birth to him. Instead of calling him after the order of Abraham, she called him by the circumstances of his birth. Yeah, that's the limitation that many of us experience. Named after our environment, the circumstances of our environment, named after the limitations around or after our, you know, past failures or the failures of our parents, not named after our destinies. We called him Jabez, son of pain or son of sorrow. The day this guy, you know, had this sense of self-awareness. Who am I? I'm a descendant of Abraham. You remember Luke 13? Jesus looked at a woman who was warped all over, wobbled with a sickness. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound these 18 years, to be free from this infirmity? And he healed her. 18 years. She's a daughter of Abraham. What's the blessing of Abraham? Because Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham may rest upon the Gentiles, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I have the blessing of Abraham. What did God say to him? In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply. That's what God said. That's what I have. That woman was entitled to it, so Jesus gave it to her. This man was entitled to the blessing of Abraham. So legally speaking, or technically speaking, he was blessed. You understand what I mean? Theoretically speaking. According to the books, the document, he was blessed. But practically speaking, he was not. You know, that's the same story for every Christian. Jesus already provided all the blessings for us, so we're blessed. He took all the pain, took the sin, took the poverty, took the sickness, so we're blessed. You see? Theoretically speaking, I'm a rich man. Because 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty may become rich. So he took the poverty on the cross. Theoretically. Legally speaking. According to the legal books in heaven. But practically. See, I don't want to drive my Range Rovers and Bentleys and Maybach or fly my jets in the spirit. I want them here. now. Hey, Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me indeed, deed, practical. I want it. I know theoretically they say it's mine, but I've not experienced it. I want it. Oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Something is trying to contain me within a small space, but I am bigger than this. That your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. I'm an asset, not a liability. Why are people rejecting me? Why am I the beggar when I'm supposed to be the one giving? This doesn't look like my destiny. Change it! So God granted him what he requested. So when you read James 5, that's the kind of prayer Elijah was praying. Went on Mount Carmel, put his head in between his knees, and began to pray. There had been no rain for 3.5 years, and he wanted to change that. He pushed the rain out from the spirit realm into the physical. Sent his servant out 6 times. He would pray, engage God, pray, asking rain to come out. He would ask his servant, go and check. The guy would go and come back. Say, nothing, there's nothing. He did it again. Told the guy to go. The guy came back, said nothing. Did it again 6 times. Nothing. He did it again. You know, somebody formed the acronym PUSH. Pray until something happens. It's when you have intensity. When you have fervency in prayer, you will be persistent. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, that's King James. In some other translations of the Bible, it says, and not to lose heart. One says, and not to lose courage. One says, and not to cave in. Don't give up. Okay? The seventh time, the guy came and said, sir, I see a cloud. Although it is the size of a man's hand. How could somebody be so negative? 3.5 years, no trace of cloud. Elijah said, come on, run. Tell Ahab to run to the gate of Jezreel. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Once this thing has shown up a little bit in the material world, the whole thing is coming. Let's get running. Hallelujah. The whole thing is coming. This week, you will enjoy divine intervention. Prayer works. God is real. The supernatural is real. The fact that the spiritual world controls the material is real. You can superimpose the spiritual on the material. Yes. Some people describe it as mind over matter. The point is, it's the invisible that controls the visible. And you can engage God. Elijah was a man of like passion like us. Just that sometimes we're not tired yet. We're not tired. You know, Mike Murdock says, don't complain about what you tolerate. As long as you can take it, it will continue to hang around you. But I think there's someone here who is saying enough. From here, everything changes. From here. Will you bow your head with me and let's pray for a minute? I don't know what it is. But the psalmist said, one thing I have desired. One thing. It's not a time to be bifocal. It's not a time to focus on two things or difocal. It's not a time to focus on two things at the same time. It's a time to pick one thing. What is it you would want God to change now? Ask him this morning to move it. Change it on your behalf. Change it in your favor. Now, I need divine intervention. God can turn hopeless situations around. Hannah prayed. Hannah prayed for a baby. The prophet saw her and thought she was drunk. That's prayer, sir. Earnest prayer. Fervent prayer. Heartfelt prayer. The kind of prayer that is heard in heaven. The kind of prayer that goes from your spirit into God's spirit. The kind of prayer that comes. Uh-oh, Hannah, they couldn't even hear a word out of Hannah's mouth. But heaven was hearing Hannah. They said, not a word was coming out of her mouth. But heaven heard Hannah. Oh yes, Lord. This week is a week for divine intervention. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for everyone present in this service. I ask, Lord, for the spirit of supplication, the spirit of prayer, and the spirit of grace to rest upon each one here to help us, Lord, as we pray for a turnaround. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for an experience with the Holy Spirit this week. And thank you because this is a week of divine intervention in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the person in this service who doesn't have a personal relationship with you yet. Oh, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We know that the greatest separation between us and you is sin. So Lord, we ask in Jesus' name for forgiveness of sins. For everyone who is honest enough to admit this morning that he or she is a sinner. May I ask, just before we end this prayer, if you're that honest person who would say, Pastor Sam, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please just put your hand on your heart where you are? I'd like to pray with you right now. I'm a sinner. My lifestyle is not right with God. Good news for you. First of all, the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, God sent his son to die on the cross for your sin and mine. Number three, we ask him for forgiveness today. He does. Because Jesus already paid for our sins. Will you please put your hand on your heart if you want us to pray together for forgiveness of sins? Perhaps you've been a Christian before, but you have backslidden into sin. If Jesus Christ comes today, you are not absolutely certain you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please, as we pray? And God bless you. If your hand is on your heart, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll be done in 1 minute. Can you please stand? And let's pray together. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Can you please stand? If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters who are standing. And we thank you for the miracle of change happening in their lives today, as you have promised in your word. Thank you for deliverance from the power of sin. And thank you for preserving this blessing in their lives. In Jesus' name.